AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News, I'm Tim McGuire. President Biden extends the moratorium on student loan payments until the suits against his plan to forgive a portion of the people's loans are decided.
It isn't fair to ask tens of millions of borrowers eligible for relief to resume their student debt payments while the courts consider the lawsuit.
Biden says the pause will be in place until 60 days after the legal battle is concluded, or June 30th, whichever comes first. Tens of millions of people have applied for Biden's proposed debt relief, $10,000 or $20,000 for those who receive Pell Grants. The Supreme Court clears the way for the IRS to hand over former President Donald Trump's tax returns to the House Ways and Means Committee, likely ending a three-year-long legal battle. Three-judge panel of an Atlanta federal appeals court appears skeptical about Trump's efforts to slow the investigation into how classified documents ended up at his resort in Florida.
A federal appeals court appears deeply skeptical that former President Donald Trump was entitled to a review by an independent arbiter of documents seized in an FBI search of his Florida estate. The three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit, including two Trump appointees, repeatedly suggested that Trump was seeking special treatment. The judges indicated through their questioning that they were likely to side with the Justice Department, which has sought an immediate end to a special master review process that it says has unnecessarily delayed its investigation into the presence of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. It was not immediately clear when the court might rule. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A Los Angeles jury finds the NCAA was not negligent in the death of a former college football player who had brain damage. Alana Gee says her husband, Matthew Gee, a linebacker who played for USC from 1988 to 92, endured an estimated 6,000 hits that caused permanent brain damage and led to cocaine and alcohol abuse that eventually killed him at 49. This is AP News.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've had Ted Cruz more than once.
Slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate, he literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids were like, "What, Bobby?"
He was invading lots of bubbles.
"Bobby, make the greasy man go away. I can smell the desperation, Mommy."
WAUK will be broadcasting the Waukesha Christmas Parade live, and you can become a sponsor. Call us at 262-232-8164. Sponsorship includes an on-air interview during the live broadcast of the Christmas Parade. A portion of the proceeds goes directly to the Waukesha Memorial Fund. Please call at 262-232-8164. That's 262-232-8164.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5.
Let's do it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We'll be right back.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Natnair with your headlines. The race for Secretary of State is finally concluded after incumbent Doug LaFollette declared victory last Thursday, GOP candidate Amy Loudenbeck conceding on Monday. Loudenbeck waiting until the official county canvass concluded. Final results show LaFollette winning by 0.30 percentage points within the one-point margin where a recount could have been requested, but outside the quarter-point gap, meaning Loudenbeck would have been required to pay for it. Hundreds of Waukesha residents came together Monday evening on the first-year anniversary of the Waukesha parade attack. The memorial began at 4:39 p.m., the exact time now convicted Daryl Brooks drove through the route, killing six and injuring dozens more. Waukesha Mayor Sean Riley spoke to the crowd, as did Governor Evers. Waukesha's Christmas parade will be held December 4th with increased safety measures. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Busted Pencils is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, it is Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Tuesday before Thanksgiving, Johnny, I could smell the turkey cooking in Washington all the
to all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows around 24 tonight, under clear skies, winds out of the southwest around 5 miles an hour. 50 tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 32. High temperatures reach up to 47 Thursday with a chance for scattered rain showers. 44, mainly sunny skies and calm Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Now, high temperatures reach up to 50 tomorrow. Lots of sunshine. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Lows around 33. Mid-40s Thursday and Friday with a chance for scattered rain showers Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
Stay informed with progressive news and talk on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM, McFarland's choice for essential radio.
Hey, welcome back. And here we're here with Alan Kalinge and talking student loan justice here. Back on live radio, and we got a caller, Mike from Ohio. We love when we have a caller. Callers out there, always call us in at 844-967-2789. Tonight, we're talking student loan justice, and we got Mike here from Ohio. Mike, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Well, it's kind of out. I'm pretty bad shape with it. When I got out of college, I didn't get a degree. I ended up having some issues with math due to my high school where I went and didn't get algebra going through high school and went through algebra about 6 to 8 times, never passed. I got $43,000 in student loans. I've always been a single wage earner in our family. And I ended up couldn't make the payments. Ended up filing a bankruptcy thinking the student loan was in the bankruptcy. And at the end of the bankruptcy, I had to pay $1,000 to them. And I thought, well, hey, that's paid off. Come to find out that I ended up getting over $26,000 in the interest. And I've been on forbearances and everything since. And right now, they need to get this S-2598 and H-R-9110 passed. Now, listen, politicians out there, I've been hauling stuff all through this pandemic, and I've been making sure these hospitals have been stocked. And you guys ought to get off your butt and help us out a little bit and get these bills passed so we can get the student loan stuff taken care of. It's not funny with the bankruptcy protection being gone from it. They can come in and garnish your wages anytime. And I'm pretty aggravated with it,
man. And you sound like it, Mike. Alan, you've heard Mike's story. You said there in the chat room. I heard that.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Mike's story is not unique at all. You know, the founding fathers called for uniform bankruptcy laws in the Constitution. A lot of people don't realize ahead of the power to declare war and raise an army. The stripping of this uniquely from student loans gives the lenders a license to steal. And what you said earlier, Tim, the incentives around this whole entire lending system are completely perverted and corrupted. The lending side can make far more money on a defaulted loan than a loan that remains in good stead. The borrowers can't run, they can't hide. These Orwellian collection powers exist on behalf of the federal government to far more than just garnish wages. They can garnish social security checks and disability, and they can get people fired from public employment. They can get their federal licenses revoked. You know, we have doctors, nurses, dentists who have been barred from operating under Medicare. You know, the collection powers would make a mobster envious. And so what we have here is a government-sponsored predatory loan sharking racket, for lack of a better
word. And that keeps coming across to me in a way that I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, I hear the against student loan quote forgiveness. So forgiveness itself is the wrong term. I was thinking about that after last week. It was like, oh, I did something wrong and you're going to forgive me. And actually what I did was I took out a loan so I could go to school so that I could come back and contribute to the society, make a little bit more money and actually pay taxes, pay back my loan. And as I hear more about this and I even think about my own situation, you know, people are like, well, Tim, I don't understand how you're 55 years old and why you still owe the amount of money you owe. Well, there is a little bit of complexity there. You know, after my first student loan in undergraduate, I was teaching for a while, made the payments, went back to school, put my loan in, you know, in a forbearance at that point so I could go back to school and get more education. But during that forbearance, though, that's what it is. They start then rounding, you know, it's like the wheel starts rolling and it starts clicking. So what you put in forbearance goes up with interest rates and penalty charges, and then you're accumulating new student loan debt. And then all of a sudden, here you find yourself 30 years later and you've paid back more than what you've ever taken out and you still owe is same amount. It's so mind-boggling. What, help me out, Alan.
Well, you know, people say, why should the taxpayers pay for your loans through forgiveness? I don't call it forgiveness. I call it cancellation. I think you're exactly right. But, you know, this is a lending program that when Lyndon Baines Johnson rolled it out in 1965, when he signed the Higher Education Act into law, he declared that the loans would be, quote unquote, free of interest. Well, today, $100 billion a year in interest alone is added onto the backs of the citizens. This is not anything like what the founders, certainly not the Congress of 1965, people who created the Higher Education Act. This is not what they envisioned.
Well, you know, and here I got an email actually from a listener in New York, Carl. Carl says, hey, what you guys are talking about, it's a feature, not a bug. And he says, thanks, MBNA Joe Biden. Anyone expecting him to help is stupider than me. I tried to warn people and stupid Americans even fell for it again, with the measly $10,000 relief carrot dangled out in front of them, which demented Joe knew would be challenged. Suckers. Wow. Is Carl going to an extreme there? Or
I mean, he's just frustrated, right?
Good, Johnny, yeah.
People are really frustrated with this, but I'm on both sides of the aisle, if we want to call it that. I mean, whether you're blue card carrying, you know, Democrat, or you're a Republican, however you land on this, historically, Democrats landed on being supportive of education and making public education accessible and as close to free to the learner at the point of access as possible. That's been sort of a party platform, you know, item for decades, if not longer. Well, we knew, like Mike has said here and others, we knew that this was not going to be the case, in particular with Joe Biden. And so, you know, we got dangled a little carrot that there would be some relief or there would be some emphasis and attention on, you know, addressing the student loan crisis that this economy has on its hands. And we got absolutely what we expected. Nothing from Joe and company. And
but when so we get, hey, though,
have to be really serious about this.
Yeah, so when we get back, 844-967-2789, Busted Pencils, back after the break.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Ukraine crisis. I'm Tim McGuire with an AP News Minute. Ukraine's energy chief says rolling blackouts are likely until the end of winter or early spring. Here's Charles Deledesma.
Energy chief Sergei Kovalenko said in a Facebook post late on Monday, the company's under instructions from Ukraine's state grid operator to resume emergency blackouts in the areas it covers, including the capital Kyiv and the eastern Dnipropetrovsk region. Kovalenko warns, although there fewer blackouts. Now, most likely, Ukrainians will have to live with them until at least the end of March. Russia has been pummeling Ukraine's power grid and other infrastructure from the air for weeks as the war approaches its nine-month milestone.
The Paris-based Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development reports a global economy is likely to have only modest growth for the next 2 years because of high interest rates, inflation, and Russia's war on Ukraine. I'm Tim McGuire.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
This is Pat Krylo from Up North News. Gynecologist Dr. Kristen Lierley has a succinct message for Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and other legislative Republicans.
Hey, get out of my exam room. Let me take care of my patients.
Specifically, she's commenting on Voss, indicating he could go along with slight exceptions to the state's 1849 near total abortion ban, but only if rape and incest victims get a police report, something most victims do not want to subject themselves to.
So how do I tell her, no, I can't provide the care that you need until you file a police report? And then she goes home and what happens? She doesn't get the care that she needs.
Governor Evers has already said such a limited exception is a non-starter. And new state Senate Democratic leader Melissa Agard told us last week,
there is no compromise when it comes to reproductive healths and freedoms.
For more about the fight to restore women's health rights, join us for Up North News Radio, 6 to 8 a.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network and Up North News WI News W.
We don't sleep very much. These triggers ache for the touch. Where's the strength we relied on?
Strength is right here every Tuesday night. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on that Civic Media Radio Network. Student loan forgiveness, student loan deadbeats. Our guest coming back from last week, Alan Collins, studentloanforgiveness.org. Check it out. All right, Alan, during the break, I got myself so upset that I was like, man, I got to figure a way out of this disaster that I'm in. I did a little bit of student loan help on the Google search, and it put me into this program. I'm about ready to hit go. loan rehabilitation services. It says it will solve all of my problems. Alan, should I hit accept?
No, do not. Turn off your computer and throw it away. Run far and fast.
Wait, you know, why? Wait, it's rehabilitation. I need rehab, man.
Yeah, no, it's not that. That's what they call it. But what it really is taking, a $50,000 defaulted student loan, paying a whole bunch of money, typically for 10 months, to some agent. And then after 10 months, you sign for a new, much, much larger, maybe $100,000 even. That's not unheard of. A brand new, shiny, non-defaulted student loan. And the people, the agents that get you to do this, make a 16% commission. So they claim it's the be-all, end-all. But the key point here is that around 80% of these rehabilitated loans wind up defaulting a second time, and the whole roller coaster starts over again. So you can see how, you know, with two rehabilitations, you can see how a $50,000 headache can become a $250,000 monstrosity in the space of, you know, a few years. I tell people loan rehabilitation is exactly the last thing you want to do. And anybody trying to rope you into loan rehabilitation is trying to make a massive payday on your back.
Well, here it is again, right? I mean, you're using this language too to lure people. It's, you know, it's this idea of rehabilitation. And you know, when you're in these straits, you know, when we talked about, you know, Christian, who took out $74,000, paid back $175,000, and still owes $235,000, you really, that's crushing, as they say. That's a crushing debt. And so to see, quote, relief, rehabilitation, that I'm going to go for that. Yes. And it's because it promises to fix this problem. And what you're saying, though, is this just adds to the problem and essentially gives me just a new loan with a 16% collection on top of that. And I have more loan to pay off. What a pain. Johnny Lupinacci, tell me about loan rehabilitation. Oh, and just put out the number there, too. If you want to join us, 844-967-2789. Johnny, did you know about this loan rehabilitation scam?
No, man, I'm always confused because I'm with the group. You know, I'm kind of in the boat of I'm paying until I don't have to pay anymore. And it's likely I'll be paying forever unless they do something on these. You know, I don't want to necessarily, I never even thought about not calling it forgiveness. I've internalized this whole, like, I've made a mistake and gotten student loans, but there was really never an option to get a degree to become a teacher. When I did in the late 90s without dealing with the massive tuition increase that was happening at state schools across our country at the end of, you know, the end of the 1990s. And so by early 2000s, a degree cost a lot more than it had 10 years even previous. So in order to have that teaching certificate and to become a teacher, it required that I took out loans. So, you know, I've just sort of surrendered to them for a really long time, but couldn't be a stronger advocate in favor of, I don't care how much I paid. I just want them gone for everybody, because it's sort of like we need to do a redo and there's going to need to be borrowing of some level at some point, because everyone should be able to get an education, but it can't be predatory and it can't be on the model where you end up like a lot of us paying and a lot of our callers paying without any end. And if we do the math, right, I have a math teacher, I have the degree, I do the math, I'm paying that balance until the end. And for listeners, it's not a tiny sum. It's more expensive than mortgages. It's more expensive than rent, than any kind of, I mean, I don't know very many teachers, even without loans, that drive fancy cars, but it's more than, you know, a modest to high end car payment. It is a significant percentage of your paycheck that goes to a minimum payment on a loan that will never end. And so it starts to feel a little bit like, well, I have to put it out of my view. And so that becomes even more dangerous to these kinds of programs like loan rehabilitation, because I might see that too, Tim, and be like, man, you know what? If I was paying closer attention to this money I'm literally burning every 2 weeks, right? I've already paid back that the what I tip and then some, but I still owe. So I'm burning this money every couple of weeks. I've just cooked it into my earnings. But imagine if I could spend that in the community. Imagine if I could invest that into my children's education, future, and paying. So I want to see it all reset for all the people out there. It's an immediate stimulus to our economy. And I don't mean that people shouldn't have to pay for education. We just have to really build some ethical parameters around what that payment looks like, what the cost is, and what repayment looks like, with the knowledge now that we can't end up where we are right now again. And we will if we just reset and wipe it clean and start over. You can guarantee we start over with like, I like how Alan said earlier, like the mafia would be upset about the collecting, you know, privileges that these loan companies have. I mean, starting over without any regulation on what the start over looks like would be like open market season on even more predatory loans. And so we want to wipe it clean, but also really advocate for some regulation around what it means to have access to quality education, right, at our public institutions. I know private schools are part of this, but that's always historically and forever will be a separate entity. But let's really look at what the masses can get, have access to our community colleges, our state colleges, our important degree programs, like becoming a nurse, becoming a teacher, right? Becoming a social worker. We regularly say on both sides of the political aisle that this country is in a mental health crisis. Well, how are we recruiting people to be therapists, counselors, and in service of our community's health needs? They're going to have to go to expensive college programs, right? And so we need to make it not only affordable for them, but something that isn't generationally, you know, stifling their economic stability and growth.
Alan.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, frankly, I think the founding fathers are looking down at this loan scam that has gone so far off the rails. And they're going, why are our citizens, how did they allow themselves to be conquered and enslaved? Why are they tiptoeing around on eggshells, afraid of the federal government, which we never designed to be a strong thing over the people? Why have they not taken their loans and burned them and like thrown the ashes in Boston Harbor? And frankly, I think that's actually happening, not literally happening, but you know, as I said, before the pandemic, two-thirds of all borrowers nearly had given up. They said, nope, no more. And we've had 2.5 years to think about it. I would be stunned if even 1 in 5 borrowers resume paying their loans when and if the people in Washington ever build the courage up to try and turn it back on.
Well, as we just found out, student loan repayments are on pause. Thank you, Joe Biden. Numbers 844-967-2789.
Give us a call, man. We love when you call us.
Fully led at education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest, Alan Collins from Student Loan
Justice.org.
I had a little bit of a brain melt there for a second. You know, it happens. Well, because it's weighing on me because I'm talking about myself here and I'm just thinking about this and just wondering, like,
you just
you
just got to be like Johnny and burn money every couple of weeks.
It's just such a thing when you think about it. But Alan, you talked about this and I've seen this out there, you know, like a student loan tea party or whatever, right? Ripping it up or, you know, draft card burning, throwing away my student loan receipt. I don't know, like, you know, putting it on my computer and dragging it to the trash can now, I guess, and making that. Is boycotting in that way? Is that something people are considering? Have you heard about it? Is it a tactic? Won't that just make it worse on me?
Well, you know, people have talked about a boycott or some people said a student loan strike. But, you know, what's happening here is neither of those things. People are done. They're finished. They're simply not going to pay. And the ramifications for them, as long as bankruptcy protections remain gone from the loans, it could get very ugly with all the collection.
Right. Power. I was going to say, Alan, can't your wages be garnished for student loans?
Yeah, well, you know, people can bulletproof themselves. You know, you can be a 1099 contractor and there's no wage to garnish. They can't touch you. You can you know, put your assets and you can hide your assets in the backyard. You know, there's many things that people can do and are doing.
You can't work at a public institution. You can't work for a university or a public school and hide, though.
So that's true.
Teachers are in it.
It really depends on the borrower's circumstances. But, you know, the key to this whole thing I have seen is getting bankruptcy back. And so there's two bills in the House and Senate right now that will crack that egg and finally give us our constitutional rights back. That's S-2598 in the Senate. H.R. 9110 in the House has to be passed by the end of the year or we're screwed.
Yeah. And Alan, we're going to get a caller here, but I want to come back to that bankruptcy thing because I wonder, and I know quite a number of folks I've talked to over the years who experience bankruptcy mostly due to their student loan debt. And I wonder if bankruptcy rights get restored, if that will retroactively go back for them or not. So that's another thing.
Yeah, let's hold that, Alan, hold that answer to the question. Joanne from Madison. Joanne, welcome to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Are you a deadbeat student loan borrower?
No, I had my education in the 1970s. I was able to earn enough money during summer vacations to fund everything in a luxury apartment in Madison. And I apologize to my students. I'm a professor, and I apologize to my students every year. And I say, we got something very precious, and we got it at a lower price than you do, and than you're getting it. And it was still high quality. And I'm concerned about the mental health aspects of all of this because I have students who are incredibly serious, almost suicidal about messing up one semester or having something happen to them where even a course, you know, they can't fulfill that course and they think their life is over because of that financial investment. And I compare it to what happened to me. I mean, I blew whole years. You know, one program I didn't like it, I went to another program, and I'm a professor now, and I've written books and stuff like that. So it's not like I'm a failure in terms of education. It was different. The money makes things qualitatively different in a very deep sense for the students. And I'm afraid about depression. I want to relate to what you were just saying about a boycott. I would love it if people got out of their depressive states, got the anger together and did something along this line. So thank you very much for your discussion. Bless you with your efforts.
Oh, thank you, Joanne. Thank you for the call, man. Johnny, I saw you.
Tim, that's the thing we need to remember is I talked about being on the cusp of affordable education at a state college. My freshman year in 1996, I was able to make enough money in a summer camp, being a summer camp counselor, to pay a majority of my tuition. Now, of course, that wasn't my room and board and all that, but most of my tuition was paid in full, right? I remember being able to go in and pay it from my own checking account as a college student in 1996. By the time I was graduating, that same state school tuition had increased so much that that summer job was almost not even a drop in the bucket. In fact, it didn't even make sense for me to have that summer job. It made more sense for me to do what I was being told, take out more loans and take summer classes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there is a real truth to this. And Joanne talked about it because public education was started to get defunded by the state, right? And so they started to allocate needing more funds from students. And it became a huge racket for not only higher education, but for states to have to allocate less money to those schools and for this whole loan industry to take off.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. One more segment. When we get back, we're going to explore with Alan that bankruptcy issue. Busted Pencils right after the break.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
And we're going to show a video of Roger Stone recorded by Danish filmmakers.
Just Google Roger Stone Monopoly Man.
You remember the old Batman TV series? He looks like the Penguin.
It's like a bad costume for A Christmas Carol.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And I know that firsthand because I was in that every year as a kid. Always a street urchin, never a Cratchit.
That needs to be the title of your autobiography. Always a street urchin, never a Cratchit.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 24 tonight, under clear skies, southwesterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 50. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 32. Chance for scattered rain showers Thursday. High temperatures reach up to 47. 44. Mainly sunny skies and calm Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it, any way you want it. She loves to dance.
That's how we do it all the time. Any way you want it. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education. Talk, educated educators talking education, student loan justice.org. Alan Collins on the show. The number is 844-967-2789. Before the last break, though, and a great caller from Joanne, Johnny asked you this, Alan, like the bankruptcy. Johnny, frame that up again for Alan.
Well, we were talking about how like including student loans in bankruptcy would be just massive, just absolutely massive, because it would allow for the people who are experiencing true financial hardship to get back on their feet. And that's an important part to having a strong economy, is having a pathway for hardworking people to stay on above water, and when they get under, to have a way to get back above. So it's important. Most people don't take advantage of it. We covered that myth last week. So getting it back would be huge. Thinking about that, thinking about the past 20 some years of this, really the past 10, I know at least offhand a handful of fellow colleagues and different folks out there, you know, working class, whether they're scholars or teachers or both, you know, who have experienced bankruptcy, and you know, they were able to get their head above water. The reason they probably landed there is low wages in their profession, and or massive student loan debt. It just becomes, like I said earlier, the majority of your expenses is your loan repayment. And that's pretty economically crushing. So yeah. We were saying, I just wondered it when you're talking about if, you know, a step to eliminating student loan debt was restoring bankruptcy protection with it, you know, would that be something retroactively all those folks back, you know, in the past, you know, 10 years or so, or even five, you know, who experienced bankruptcy and have student loan debt, that it could be retroactive in a sense?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, our bill, if one can, it's definitely retroactive. Yes. So if you can, you can open and amend your bankruptcy filing according to the laws of your state. Most people can within, I think, 5-6 years. Then certainly you can go back and include your student loans. And remember, you know, nobody wants to file for bankruptcy. It's a terrible thing to have to do. But not having the leverage of bankruptcy on our side, that's 90% of the goodness of bankruptcy. Not that you can run out and file, you know, obviously nobody wants to do that. Just having the threat of bankruptcy on our side, the borrower's side, that's exactly what is needed to keep the lenders behaving ethically, to keep the price of college at a rational market, rational level. It really means everything. You know, a lot of people like to bag on the founders. I get that. But I think the founders had this one exactly right. And, you know,
you explain it, though, like that. I don't think we've ever heard about bankruptcy as this leveler of being able to actually put
a borrower in a position of, you know, not total helplessness. You know, when we hear bankruptcy and the way it's taught to us, it's this shameful moment of where everything and, you know, bad people, bankruptcy, bad people. But at the same time, I think about that, though, it's like, you know, the past president, Donald Trump, got bankruptcy how many darn times in the past 40 some years? And it was just part of doing business, being a, you know, a multi-billion dollar businessman. Hey, guess what? Occasionally you go bankrupt. And that's one of the tools that a person would have at their disposal so that they, quote, don't go underwater and can then come back and still be a participating member of the community. Why, that's the part I'm really appreciating about this conversation is that to talk about bankruptcy, we're not asking for it to be restored so that we can get our free lunch. It's pointing out that bankruptcy kind of actually puts out a counterforce towards negative behavior on the lenders, is what you're saying.
That's exactly right. You know, it's not that everybody's going to rush out and file. Frankly, I don't think very many people at all are going to rush out and file for bankruptcy on their student loans. When that threat is returned, when we have that power back, then Joe Biden, for example, he's going to have to cancel loans very broadly. And maybe it'll be what Johnny said. Frankly, in my humble opinion, if I was looking at this thing from the seat of power in Washington, D.C., I would look at this thing and say, this one's done, ladies and gentlemen. This lending system needs to be completely erased, thrown on the scrap heap of failed U.S. policy experiments, and let's go forward and fund our colleges in a rational way and get back to what, you know, the halcyon days of the 1970s, as Joan described. We can do it. We're the most powerful country in the world, and the only thing holding us back is the bad politics, and quite frankly, that comes back in many ways to Joe Biden, I'm very sorry to say.
Oh, you're not very sorry to say that, Alan. I heard you during the breaks. You've been talking about that. Our guest, second week in a row, Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org. Check out the website. Give them some support. Alan, thank you again for a great night. And have an awesome Thanksgiving, Alan. And we will definitely have you back again, though.
Well, thanks, guys. I just want to say one last thing. S-2598 and H-R-9110. Got to get these bills passed by the end of the year. Well, happy Thanksgiving, though.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you, Alan. And we will talk to you again shortly or in a couple of weeks. So there it is, Johnny. Bankruptcy, busted pencils, student loan deadbeats. My goodness, you know, kind of coming up here 1 minute. I'll give you 30 seconds to Do a Johnny roll.
I'm glad we're having these conversations because they're important. You know, we got a big elections coming up. And I think, like Alan had said, this is one that should be a no-brainer. I even wonder, and I know I'm going to sound a little bit like a broken record for, you know, the Democratic Party. I think even as the Republican Party reforms and moves away from sort of this Trump's party version, which is an embarrassment to even the Republicans. But, you know, as both parties really evaluate what is their role in serving the good people of this country, you know, I think that the student loan crisis is a massive component to this upcoming election. I think it's a no-brainer. And I almost wonder, and I know I'm sort of re-hitting the same issues we've heard over and over, but how often have we bailed out companies? How often have we bailed out not only corporations, but massive banks? You know, I just want to know, at what point do we invest in the people of this country and build up their economic stability?
Oh, great question. What a great show. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. We will be back next week for more. Busted Pencils, have a great Thanksgiving.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
This is Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
We are Busted Pencils! Woo!
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday.
It was a short week, and it still feels like it was a long week. And we did it!
We did. Well, we're almost done. We almost did it.
We're still going to get through today. But we did it. We lived to tell about it. We're having fun.
Yeah. All kinds of fun things planned for today.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.